relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends. This is America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, on the set. We've heard a lot about justice, social justice, equity, and equality in the last few years. But what's the truth? Who are the real racists and bigots? Who are using discrimination as a function of policy in this nation? Well, there might be a clue if you think about this clip from the presidential campaign from the man who, unfortunately, ended up in the White House.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Really? That's what we think of politics in America? Skin color should determine outcomes, even of presidential elections. Let's talk to somebody who's fighting back against that bigotry. A brave man who I heard speak for the first time recently at an amazing event in New Jersey. It was the Seat at the Table Conference. Kenny Hsu, welcome, president of Color Us United to America First.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we'll talk about your organization. We'll talk about the book that you have been discussing at events like the Seat at the Table across the nation. But first, for those who are not familiar with you or your work, will you give us a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing today, Kenny?
Sure. I was a math major in college. I went to Davidson College. I did not have any experience speaking on these issues, but I knew from my time applying for college that Asian and Asian Americans were always going to be held to a higher standard just because of their skin color. And I thought that that was wrong. But so many of my Asian American friends didn't really buy into that, or they bought into that Kool-Aid. They started saying things like, well, you know, you wouldn't want too many Asians on your college campus anyways. And that was very offensive because Asian Americans are very diverse and they're very different people. So I started speaking out about this. I started speaking out at Harvard about Harvard's discrimination against Asian Americans, and which led to a Supreme Court case that is now being litigated at the highest court of the land. It could overturn race-based admissions forever. It's called Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard. And since then, I've become the president of Color Us United. And what we do is we fight for a race-blind America. And we believe that that's the principle that should motivate us, not race.
So will you just share with us some of the shocking statistics that you divulged at the conference in New Jersey than yesterday on my show on Newsmax when it comes to the barriers, the official barriers that are being put in place by deans of admissions, by the directors of admissions at these very prestigious schools in America. So give us the nuts and bolts, because I think most people will not believe what is being done to the Asian American community.
Yeah, this is the results of my investigation in my new book, An Inconvenient Minority. And the results are staggering. They are staggering. Asian Americans have to score 440 points higher on the SAT to have the same chance of admission as a black person, and 150 points higher to have the same chance of admission as a white person. Asians actually score highest academically in the admissions process to Harvard. They score highest extracurricularly. And then Harvard penalizes Asians by calling them the lowest on this personality score. Now, what is a personality score, you may ask? It's a test of what they call likability, good humor, leadership skills. It's very subjective. And Asians seem to pass with flying colors. They get the highest scores on alumni interviews. They get the highest scores on teacher recommendations, second highest on counselor recommendations. But Harvard rates them lowest anyway. Very suspicious. Seems like Asians are being discriminated in this process.
Well, that's just shocking. Forget the personality scores, but having to score 400 points higher than the black applicant to the same school. I mean, please, I'm not a lawyer, and you've written the book Inconvenient Minority, but since 1972, we've had the Equal Opportunities Act. How is this practice, whether it's Yale, Harvard, whether it's Thomas Jefferson, not far from this studio, one of the most prestigious STEM schools in America, that likewise is doing exactly the same, is discriminating against the best students? Because TJ, as it's called, was, of course, full of incredibly high-performing STEM students from the Korean community, from the Asian community. Now it's discriminating against them. How is this legally justified, or how is this, excuse the naive question, Kenny, how is this legally possible?
Huh. Well, it's possible because of a Supreme Court decision in 1979 called Regents of California versus Bakke, which said that colleges could use race in admissions as one factor. And the funny thing about that decision was that was decided by, it was a 5-4 very split. And actually one of the justices, Lewis Powell, was a Harvard alum who praised Harvard's admissions process. He said, Harvard uses race in admissions, but they don't use quotas. And he didn't want the appearance of racial preference, but he still allowed universities to use racial preferences, which in a way is even worse than if you just said, okay, fine, you guys can use racial quotas. Because at least in racial quotas, everybody knows that there's certain percentage is going to be admitted because of their race. But now Harvard resorts to using these things like personality scores to discriminate and do the discrimination work for them instead, which is even more stereotypical and honestly even more offensive.
I have to ask you, and I'm not trying to do, you know, identity politics, that's just what the left does, but I'm curious, in the Asian community, so there is this cliche, if you will, of the tiger mom, the really merit-concentrated Asian family in America and elsewhere. What is the reaction of the community to these stories, whether it's a high school in Northern Virginia, whether it's Yale, whether it's Harvard? Is there some kind of backlash? Because clearly what this community is being told is the extra hours, the hard work, the determination isn't worth it, because you're the wrong skin color. As a white student was recently told, who's applying to medical school, who was a grade A student at his college, by an Asian professor of medicine who was a conservative, she said to him, you know the trouble with you applying to med school now? You're the wrong color. And also you're a heterosexual. So this is an Asian saying to a white, sorry, dude, you may be a grade A student, but you're the wrong color. Has there been any reverse effect? How is the community responding to all these cases?
So when I go out on tour, and I just did a best-selling book tour for my new book, An Inconvenient Minority, but when I go out on a tour and I talk to ordinary Asian Americans, the Asian Americans actually usually respond with relief. And I'll tell you why. Because growing up, we were told that if you work hard and study hard, if you got the best grades, the best scores, if you participated in these clubs, you would get in. And maybe that was a toxic mentality in and of itself, but it at least was a meritocratic mentality. At least it incentivized and inspired us to work hard. Because when you're a young kid, and you're academically high achieving, what do you want in general? Generally, you want to get into a top college. You want that affirmation. And so now seeing the data unfold, seeing the data that was forced out of Harvard's hands, Harvard did not want to reveal the data. A judge ruled that they had to give it over to the group suing them. Seeing that data revealed and seeing how it proves that Harvard is actually racially discriminating is a big relief. Because it shows that because these Asians, they go through their whole life, then they get rejected by the schools that they know that they are on merit qualified for. And they blame themselves. Many of them blame themselves And I'm here to tell them, no, you shouldn't blame yourself. Really, this is the result of a DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology that does not like people like you. It just doesn't want more people like you. It was not invented for you. It was invented for other minorities. You're just caught in the middle. They treat you as white. They treat you worse than they treat white people.
No,
so that's what it is. They call Asians white adjacent. That's what they call them.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. All right. We've only just begun the discussion. His website is inconvenientminority.com. That is the title of his book, An Inconvenient Minority. You've got to follow him. He is the president of Color Us United. On social media, it's Kenny M. Xu. That's X-U. Kenny M. X-U. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy our show, don't forget, you can get every single episode of One on One if you go to your favorite podcast channel, go to podcast, plug in America First, plug in my name, and you'll never miss an episode. That's America First, Sebastian Gorka on Spotify. Don't miss a second. If you haven't done so already, be sure to book your seats on the Stand With Israel tour. 10 days later this year, we're going to the Holy Land to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going along with my superb Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. We're going to be right there standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the Garden of Gethsemane. Book today this trip of a lifetime. You won't regret it. 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number again, a little bit more slowly, 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Standwithisraeltour.com.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code G-O-R-K-A. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Gorka. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code Gorka. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Kenny, you mentioned a couple of catchphrases there, or acronyms, terminology. Let's unpack the truth behind, you know, it used to be about equality, racial equality, equality in civil rights. Now we have this phrase or this word equity, and we have the acronym DEI, so diversity, equity, and inclusion. Will you talk to us about why these nice sounding words are actually more divisive than ever before?
Yes, let's unpack these terms, okay? Why is the left switching from equality to equity, right? Equality says, we're just going to treat you on your merit. We're going to give you equal opportunity to succeed. But after that, it's on you. Like, you got to compete for it. We don't believe in equal outcomes. We don't even believe in equal racial outcomes, right? We're going to give everybody a public education. We're going to give everybody access to healthcare, whatever you want to call it. This used to be what liberalism was, by the way. And then we'll let you compete, or liberalism at least purported to be. But now they're replacing that term with equity. Why? Because they don't like competition. Now they're going to force the racial outcomes that they want, even if it compromises equal opportunity. Here's what I mean. So they say, for example, that the achievement gap right now in terms of test scores is inequitable because black students tend to do worse on the SAT instead of white students. So what does Harvard do? What are top colleges in the school in the, doing in the U.S. right now? Well, they decide they want to eliminate the SAT, not because anything's wrong with the SAT. Yeah, it's a test, and it's not the only thing that you should base your admissions off of, but it's not inherently racist or discriminatory. It's just because, for reasons that are not related to racism, Black students tend to do worse on the SAT.
So isn't there some kind of way to say, hang on, guy, can I stop equity. You there? Isn't the problem with the SAT exactly the point of the SAT, that it is a blind measure of skill? There's no, you don't fill in the Asian box or the black box. It is a blind measure of whether or not you have those skills. Isn't that the problem with the SAT, Kenny?
That is absolutely the case. In fact, the SAT and standardized tests in general was invented to oppose discrimination.
Right.
It is an anti-discriminatory measure because everyone gets the same test. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or Asian. Everybody knows what the questions are relatively going to be because everybody can pull up a practice SAT or a previous one, and the next one is going to be relatively like it. Anybody can do it. Anybody can be successful at it. So that's why this is an affront to the idea that the SAT is intentionally discriminatory.
Talk to us about this new favorite acronym that is even being used in the wokeification of corporations across America, DEI.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, also known as DEI, I would like to call it DIE, die, is a new ideology. It's actually an old ideology, but it's recently metastasized within corporate America. It basically says that corporate America is too white dominated, and we need to put more minorities into the highest rungs of DEI. Now, DEI never says, oh, well, the NBA is too black because it's 75% black. DEI only cares, of course, when industries or professions are too white dominated, not being enough minorities in the pipeline. Guilt, which is unfounded. It's unfounded. If you actually take a look at, for example, the percentage of math PhDs in the nation, the talent pipeline, unfortunately, for Black Americans is relatively lower. So even if you were hiring and promoting completely meritocratically, you would still get racially inequitable outcomes. So you shouldn't feel guilty about it, but DEI tries to make you feel guilty about it.
You're a math guy. And it's interesting that James Lindsay was also a math guy before he got into fighting CRT and the wokeification of academe. How is there not a common sense response to this, Kenny, whereby if you're in the STEM world, let's start there, knowing stuff really matters. We can debate what Aristotle meant for the next 1,000 bucks in a day is not a matter of opinion. That is a statistical measure.
Right. By applying quotas, you are seriously undermining our culture of excellence. Even slight quotas will do this because it's going to teach children the wrong incentive. It's going to teach children to pine for their victimhood. That's how they get rewarded rather than being genuinely productive. And I'll give you another example about this and how this equity kills cultures of excellence. Let's talk about South Africa. Okay, South Africa was organized on apartheid. Okay, it was organized. It was an oppressive system to Black Africans. They would just call them colored not colored. They would call them Black Africans there. But the new government came in that was anti-apartheid, and they imposed these racial quotas, and they expropriated land from white farmers. And the problem with that is that the white farmers were also the farmers who had the most institutional knowledge of the land because they had been farming that land for hundreds of years. So as soon as they took all the land from these white farmers and forced reparations and took all of these white people from management positions and replaced them with their political
favorites.
Comrades,
right.
Favorites, the production of South Africa's economy went seriously down. South Africa went from having one of the world's strongest agricultural economies to now constantly needing food rationing in short supply because of this decline in expertise.
And it's so obvious. It's like saying, airline pilots should be chosen upon their ethnic makeup and their skin color. No, I want a pilot, irrespective of his skin color, who can damn well fly the plane. So whether it's an economy, whether it's agriculture, it seems like common sense. But of course, that is not what the left is applying right now. Dear friends, this is America First. Support those that make it possible. Great, great patriots like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. They want to cancel him. The left wing wants to destroy him. Please support him right now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A. This will get you up to 66% off his line of more than 150 products. Whatever it is, the pillows, the bed sheets, the Egyptian cotton Giza Dream sheets, the incredible sheepskin line slippers. Do yourself a favor, support this show and support this great man, and have a good night's sleep. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Now, Kenny, you've written this superlative work, Inconvenient Minority. Everybody needs to get this book. Everybody needs to read this book. The Attack on Asian American Excellence and the Fight for Meritocracy by Kenny Hsu. That's X-U, Kenny Hsu. I know you're not a psychiatrist, you're not a group psychologist, but you are out there. You are traveling the nation talking about this discrimination. I have to ask a question based upon my personal experience. I was a fellow at Harvard in the 90s, in the 98-99, and I went to the Kennedy School as a fellow. I took some courses, and right there in the 90s, at the end of the 90s, I saw reverse discrimination. I saw people who were there at, you know, Harvard, who were clearly there because somebody said, "Ooh, you're the right skin color, you need to be here." And in my year there, I saw these people suffer. I saw them, you know, out of their depth. I saw them struggling to keep up. And I wondered to myself, and now after I've met you, I wonder even more, isn't there some kind of really detrimental effect you're having on those you think you're helping by putting them in a situation that they're not ready for? Isn't this like a double whammy for the community that they're supposed to be assisting, Kenny?
First of all, thank you for mentioning that I'm touring the nation, and you can book me at colorusunited.org, which is the organization that I represent. Second of all, let's talk about the damaging effects of racial preferences on the people that they're supposedly trying to help. So new studies have been released. Unfortunately, African Americans who get in because of affirmative action into these top law schools, for example, tend to graduate at the bottom 25%. Of their law schools. That leads to lower salaries, that leads to lower confidence. And these people, if they were just matched to the law schools in which they were qualified for, they could have graduated at the top of the class, they could have been well sought after for partnerships, law firms, everything like that. So I don't even get the sense that racial preferences is actually even helping these black individuals. Furthermore, a new study showed that black STEM majors tend to drop out of STEM at much higher rate because of affirmative action, because they were put into courses in which they're ill-equipped to compete. Whereas if they were put into courses that they were ready at the time to compete in, they would have succeeded and probably would have continued on with that major and possibly their dream career.
Let me ask you, since you are traveling the nation, what is the response you're getting? Because, you know, we're talking about Harvard, Yale, we're talking about, you know, elite, very high-performing high schools in the D.C. area. Is this a very localized phenomena? What is the feedback you're getting elsewhere?
No, this is very much a national phenomenon. I'll tell you a story of a time that I went to New Jersey, actually. And I was basically speaking in front of a largely Latino crowd. And I was talking about, what is the American dream to you guys? It's that you come to this country legally, you come to this country and you work hard and you'll be treated on the basis of that hard work. You won't be treated on the basis of your background. That's the American dream. immigrants generally don't come into this country. Some do, but most don't. They don't generally come to this country seeking handouts. They want to work, they want to achieve, and they want to be treated on the basis of that achievement. And that really resonated with the crowd that day, because they do believe, and we all believe, that we should be treated on the content of our character, not the color of our skin. But as woke ideology is turning us in a new direction, they want to treat us on the color of our skin.
Yeah, absolutely shocking stuff. We need to do something about it. What do we do? That's going to be our next question for our guest. He is Kenny Hsu. You've got to read the book, Inconvenient Minority. You've got to check out his website. Book him, okay? He's a very, very active guy. He's fighting for the truth. We need more like him. Go to inconvenientminority.com. This is America First, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Kenny, there's one thing we haven't broached so far. I mentioned the story of one professor at an Ivy League. Where are the teachers in all of this? You're helping students, you're helping families, Americans who believe in meritocracy. Is there any resistance from the people who really should be the primary gate that says, hang on a second, I'm here for academic excellence. I'm not going to undermine that with some policy that dilutes or stops meritocracy. Is there any pushback from the academic members of these institutions?
Well, I think the teachers are some of the worst affected of them all, actually, based on the many conversations that I've had with them. And I'll tell you why. I'm not even talking about elite colleges anymore. Think about your elementary school teacher. Okay. In some of these inner city communities, right, there's a strong incentive already for teachers to avoid pain by going to higher income communities to teach. So when a teacher actually does take the risk and they say, okay, I'm going to go to the inner city and I'm going to work my hardest and teach these guys math and reading, and suddenly they're confronted with all kinds of woke bureaucracy within these schools. For example, discipline standards have dropped dramatically in the name of equity. Wokesters have and leftists have said that because too many black kids are being disciplined by their professor, we need to lower discipline standards for the sake of equity. So what happens in these classrooms is that 80% of the kids want to learn, but then they're completely distracted by these 20% who basically are there to destroy the function of the classroom. And as a result, these 80% of the kids can't even learn. The teacher cannot instill order because she has no power to suspend or expel these kids because of these arbitrary woke discipline standards. So I think that's just one example. And I could go into more, but teachers are some of the worst hit from woke ideology.
Tell us about, as a science person yourself, what are the potential long-term ramifications? So if we look at, yes, these are institutions with prestigious reputations, often tens of billions of dollars worth of endowments. So in theory, they could self-perpetuate and last forever or a long time simply because of the money and the resting on the laurels of past reputation. But if you're a man of science, if you do the long-term scenario planning, all of this is going to have a severely detrimental effect on the institutions themselves, let alone the students who are being discriminated against, surely.
Right. And let me tell you why. I am a man of science, and so are you. Research universities in our country, especially the top ones, have historically done a significant amount for the innovation and excellence culture in our country. That's why we pay them the big bucks, right? Right. That's why we're giving MIT, $10 billion endowment, Stanford, $15 billion endowment. So when they suddenly turn their head and they say, we're not going to admit the most meritorious, we're going to admit based on woke standards, we're going to lower the curriculum, we're going to lower the curriculum standards, we're going to force with racial preferences people who have no business being in our college, what they're doing is they're basically saying, they're giving the big middle finger to all of the donors and supporters in this country who have bet on these research universities to produce the next generation of excellent people and the next generation of innovations. So I do think that this ideology, as it continues down its road that it's already going and accelerating, in 30 years, it's going to hugely impact our culture of excellence in this country.
Tell us about, and that's something that, again, will not be able to be fixed. You can't fix that in a week. You can't fix that in a month or a year. That will take decades to unravel, should it be recognized. Tell us about your organization that you run. What is Color Us United? We had one of your amazing young fellows on the show, and he invited me on his podcast. Wow, what a sharp guy he was. Tell us about your organization and why you created it.
Well, I love Christian Watson. You should follow him as well. He's our spokesman.
Since you mentioned his name, when I went on his show, within 15 minutes on air, I said, I want everybody to know this is one of the best interviews anybody has ever done with me because of who's doing it. And then he told me that he's 21 years old, and I basically fell off my chair. So I don't know where you found that guy, but Christian Watson, dude, we need a lot of more young black men like Christian Watson in America. But sorry, carry on. Tell us about your organization.
Yeah, well, we're here to inject some real nerve and talent into this movement for meritocracy. Color Us United, we represent you, the employee of woke corporations who are being oppressed by their policies. So you go to colorusunited.org, you sign up, even leave a tip, talk about, you know, what the new policy, the new agendas are going on in your big companies, and we go out and fight them for you, on your behalf. We took on the Salvation Army last year for asking their members to repent for racism, the least racist people in the country asking to repent for racism. We won. We forced them to rescind their anti-racism packet. Now we're doing the same thing with American Express, aka Un-American Express. They've been imposing racial quotas in their hiring. We will fight and we will win for you. So go to colorusunited.org and sign up.
All right, that's colorusunited.org. Your website is Inconvenient Minority. And do you still have, was there a website, do I remember, for the campaign against the woke, the racism of American Express? What was that, Kenny?
Yes, that's unamericanexpress.com. Unamericanexpress.com. This is a credit card company that is turning quickly into a social credit card company. So fight that with us, and please support our campaign at colorusunited.org or unamericanexpress.com, whichever site you choose.
This is what gives me hope. When I meet people like Kenny, when I hear about these initiatives, meet his colleagues like Christian Watson, this is when you realize, guys, with you, if you follow the lead, if you become a catalyst like Kenny, like Christian, like his colleagues, everything is possible. This isn't some case where you just keep your head down and you have to, you know, avoid the ire of the wokerati. No, stop and make a stand today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that really works. How do I know that? Because I take it. I've been taking it for 3 years. I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3 years later. That's how good it is. But it's not just me. It's people like Reggie from Florida. This is Reggie's story. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Incredible words. Find out for yourself. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Call Relief Factor today, 800-500-8384. The three-week quick starter pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You know it makes sense. Don't wait any longer. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call today, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. So I broached that option that many people have And now I'm going to say it more explicitly, Kenny, and I asked you this on my Newsmax show, but I think this is the most important thing that you can help us with. I think the vast majority of people, whether they're white, Asian, or in a minority that's being discriminated against, they're being told by their parents, or they feel themselves, okay, it's just 3 years. It's just 4 years. I'm just going to keep my head down. I'm going to fill in the garbage woke answer in the test that I don't believe in, so I just don't get penalized or punished by my professor, and then I'm out of here with my diploma. Why is that the wrong thing to do?
It's the wrong thing to do because maybe 30 years ago, that was an okay thing to do. And by the way, that was what a lot of my Asian culture was teaching our sons and our daughters. Go focus on being a doctor. Go focus on excelling in the competence economy. And that's a great thing. I love my doctor friends. They're doing incredible, amazing work. But if we don't start raising up people in the political sphere, even those doctors are going to have their lives crushed by this leftist woke ideology. You know why? Because this is an anti-meritocratic ideology. It does not want excellence. Asians are already continuing to be discriminated in top medical schools in the country. In fact, one medical school calculator that calculates your odds of getting into an exam, getting into a medical school, only asks for three things. They ask for your MCAT score, your college GPA, and your race. Because they know that if you're Asian, you're going to be discriminated against in this process. If you're white, you're going to be discriminated against in this process. So we're undermining our culture of excellence, and we're hurting our children's futures. You have to raise people to stand up for this. If you don't, you will be crushed under the woke motor.
The woke motor. All right, I'm going to do something inappropriate right now as we close out. Kenny Hsu, how old are you?
24.
Wow. Where are the other Kenny Hsus? Where are the other Christian Watsons? This is inspirational. I want to say thank you as an immigrant to this nation, as a legal immigrant who chose to come here because I believe that this is the shining city on the hill, that this is the greatest nation on God's green earth. Wow. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for your courage. The book you've got to read is An Inconvenient Minority. He is the president and the founder of Color Us United. Please support them. Don't just check them out. Support them. If you believe in meritocracy, if you believe that this is the land of opportunity, irrespective of skin color, go to colorusunited.org. Keep doing it, my friend. And next time when you're in the swamp, you've got to come in my studio. That's Kenny Hsu. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings, dear friends. This is America First, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. It may be Monday, but we have a lot to talk about. But first, what happened yesterday? Did you go to church? I did. It was a very interesting experience. I went to a parish which is, let's just say, if you're in the swamp, you'll know what I'm talking about. It is connected to the Supreme Court in a certain way. And it was great to be there. Why? Because it was full. And out of the hundreds of people there, lots of children, lots of families, maybe 10 people, 8 people were wearing masks. The rest were not living in fear. As I sat there, I looked around. I tend to try and, you know, have a certain awareness of things going on around me. The first thing I noticed was the number of ushers, most of them large individuals, parishioners, but ushers. And then one of them who kept catching my eye was standing at one of the side doors, not one of the main doors where the parishioners come in, but the side door to the sacristy where the priest comes in. It's just a single door for the priest to come in. One of the ushers was standing there and moving and bobbing in and out, looking at the congregation. And then it all clicked for me. It's Sunday, the Sunday after the threat by a group called Ruth Sent Us to intimidate parishioners around America, especially at Catholic churches. One church in California had women suddenly in the middle of Mass, huge cathedral church, stand up, take off their outer garments, and they were dressed in the housemaid's tail red cloaks and the white headgear, and then start demonstrating in the middle of a holy service about abortion rights, disturbing that religious ceremony. At the weekend, in Madison, Wisconsin, a pro-life pregnancy center was firebombed. So certain parishes, the one that I was attending Mass in, took those threats seriously. I myself am always carrying a weapon. I am licensed to do so in 3 different localities, 4 actually. And when I left after Mass, I said hello to the priest, standing outside, greeting parishioners. First thing he said to me, because he's known me for 12 years, he said, "So what are you packing today, Sebastian?" And we joked about it. And as I looked over his shoulder, I saw the local Virginia police vehicle right there, parked right in front of the church. And then I saw another cruiser. And on the one hand, it was kind of a little bit of a good feeling that serious men were taking a serious threat seriously, because that's how civilizations are maintained. That's how communities are kept safe, when men take serious threats seriously and prepare themselves to meet with force that threat, whether it is the police officers called by that parish priest to come to that church. We never have squad cars sitting outside this parish on a normal Saturday. He requested them because of a heightened threat assessment. Or whether it is the heightened number of large ushers, or, and I would say I wasn't the only parishioner armed. I would say there were quite a few of us armed inside that church. So it felt good. But afterwards, as I digested the amazing sermon and talked to my wife about the strange situation of what we'd just lived through, it hit me. We went to church to practice our freedom of conscience in a nation that uniquely protects that in our Constitution. Not just freedom of speech, but freedom of conscience. A constitutional order that has a disestablishment clause, which, whilst perverted and misinterpreted actually willfully by the left doesn't mean that there is no support for religion by the state. It simply says that you cannot be punished, you cannot be persecuted for being the member of, quote-unquote, the wrong religion. That's what it really meant. The separation of church and state doesn't mean that this is an unchristian nation. On the contrary, the founding fathers knew that this nation, whether you go to church on Sunday or go to temple for the Sabbath, is irrelevant. Our constitutional order as the pinnacle of Western civilization doesn't function without respect for Christian values, because we are part of Western civilization. But the fact that our practice of our religious conscience couldn't happen without men with guns securing that church, peace officers in uniform with openly carried weapons, with parishioners with concealed weapons, securing the families, the young children, the babies that were in that church. Well, that tells you where we are today. The fact that the homes of Supreme Court associate justices are being picketed, that Justice Alito and his family have had to be removed by the authorities and taken to a safe, undisclosed location because of the credible threats to their lives from people who aren't satisfied with 60 million aborted babies. I'm not interested with so-called conservatives saying, oh, this is a distraction. Don't you understand? It's about CRT. It's about the border. It's about inflation, the price of gas. It's about baby formula. Wrong. You are utterly wrong. Those are the manifestations of a deeper spiritual conflict, a war for the soul, not of just this nation, but of our civilization. Wake up, America. We must save our freedoms. Those children in the womb have unalienable rights as well. And a civilization is measured not by whether or not CRT is taught in its schools, but is measured first by how it treats the most vulnerable in its society, the aged, the children, and most especially the unborn. Wake up, America. It is time for us to fight, to politically win this cultural war for the soul of the West and America. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem News Channel. Don't miss a second of the show. Make sure that you are subscribed right now to the audio podcast. Go to Spotify, put in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe today, write a review, share the links. Don't miss a second.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.